So, as I said, we are sharing each a few thoughts from Psalm 23. Praise God. And the rostrum is open for you to come and share what the Lord has revealed to you. You may have something new, you may not be. It may be just something that you just want to repeat. Because, you know, John Wesley used to say that when he was on a mission, that you needed to hear the message 15 times before you actually got the message. So that's not bad, actually. Because as a minister, I only need 4 or 5 messages for the year. Just keep running them through until you get it. You know, and if you don't get it, just keep preaching it. Hallelujah. Praise God. No, but it's true, you know, sometimes it has to be hammered in to get the message. And John Wesley, when he was on in a small church and he was preaching the gospel, and he'd been there 6 nights, and he'd preached the same message for 6 nights. And on the 7th night, one of the elders of the church said to him, he said, "Brother, when are you going to preach another message?" And do you know what John Wesley said to him? He says, "When you become born again." So, you know, that's, you know, the message is you must be born again. That's the message of the Bible. That's the message of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you must be born again. Hallelujah. And as we come into the Word of God, we just pray, Lord, just open up to us fresh, new insight of your Word. Reveal something new to us, Father. Just open your Word and open our hearts, open our spirits, O God, to receive from you, that, Lord, we shall receive something fresh and new from you, O God, that, Lord, will quicken us, that will empower us, and that will strengthen us in our daily walk with you, Lord Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. Praise God. So who's going to be first? Have you got something? Well, that's all right. It don't matter how little it is. Are you coming first then?
Literally, verse 1, we all know this psalm backwards, but do we actually know it? Yeah. And it was simply that the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. And what came to mind instantly, given I've not prepared anything, was he is enough. Yeah. God is enough, he is sufficient. He provides for us everything we need. He is our protection, our salvation, and our provider. That's it.
Amen.
That's a clue. A couple of years ago, I wrote it out because I know the Word of God is for all of us, and every bit of it's for us. But this psalm, when you write it out, put your name in, it really seems to get really so personal. It's really it hits you really, because it is talking to you and saying that everything. I mean, as Michelle said, the Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. Now, when I was thinking about Kitty today, when everybody kept saying how we've been robbed, well, we were robbed, but of course we left Windrum for him, haven't we? But I mean, you know, God's given us more over and above what we lost, and you know, He looks after us all, and He does. He is our shepherd, and it's so personal. I know a lady in the rectory, manager Lorraine, came up to me and said, "There's a lady, and I think she can't go and see her sister for some reason or something. She's really distressed and that." So she's, "Do you know anything in the Bible that I can tell her?" So I says, "Well, Psalm 23," and she says, "After she says thank you, that really helped her and blessed her." So it's just a comfort to people that's in the world. They know, everybody knows Psalm 23, even though they're not Christians. So it's really a blessing to everybody. Yeah, amen.
There's a problem with this psalm. We're too familiar with it. So we fail to see just what it holds. And as I can quote it off by heart almost, and a lot of people can. And because its familiarity is such, we don't give it a great deal of thought. But the one word in it that helps me very much, and it says in the back end of Psalm of verse 4, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, if he had to use the rod and the staff on you as a shepherd did in the days of the sheep, it wasn't a very comfortable sort of thing that helped you. But as has already been said, the psalm portrays that everything we need, we can find in Jesus. And let me tell you, the flock that followed the old shepherds in the days that this psalm was written, they heard his voice. They followed his voice. They didn't send a dog after them to chase them and harass them, but they followed behind. And as they followed, they heard the voice. And he says, they wouldn't listen to anybody else. They didn't know the voice of the hireling. They didn't know the voice of another shepherd. But they knew the voice of their own shepherd. And I believe that's what we've got to come to the place where we hear the voice of our own shepherd, Jesus himself. We've got to hear that voice. Listen to what he says. And he calls them. He said he leads them into green pastures. He takes them beside still waters. Let me tell you, sheep cannot drink from running water. The water has to be absolutely still, or they would drown. Pardon? Yeah? It would frighten them, but their noses are so near their mouths that they can't, like a dog can put its nose in the water. If they put their face too close to the water and it's not completely still, it goes down their nose and it can drown them. But the shepherd, he makes sure the waters are still waters. It portrays to us the fact that Jesus is interested, like someone said on the messenger this week, in the small things. And I didn't realise that until I was talking to Andrew, and then the pictures came back to my mind, that they must have stiff necks in these dark countries. Not stiff necked in the fact that they won't do what you ask them to do, but stiff necks because of what they carry on their heads. Little girls carry 2 gallons of water on their heads, sometimes more. Women carry huge amounts of stuff on their heads. Men carry, Pastor Andrew was saying, saw someone carrying this huge chair on his head, and he was just walking along as though it wasn't there. Let me tell you the difficulties that the shepherd takes us through. He makes it such that he carries us and he directs us. So that though the burden may be heavy, he says, my burdens are not heavy. My burdens are light. And he said, my yoke is easy. Get yoked up to the shepherd that loves you, cares for you, and makes sure that you get all that you stand in need of. Amen.
When we were at school, someone about a I used to chuckle at this psalm, such is the English language. And that first bit, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. To a kid, that's an odd thing. I didn't understand commas in them days. It makes a difference. It was a strange language. And I was talking to David at the back there, at the start, and he was explaining. You know, we were asking about what sort of church, and I said, well, we've got a pastor. He says, oh, he says, what do you understand by the word pastor? Anyway, he showed me, like in Hungarian, it means shepherd. So, yeah, the Lord is my pastor, my shepherd. It's an all-inclusive psalm, this. If you start counting through how many involvements God has with you and me, verse 2, and it's funny, it's not only a beckoning. Sometimes he makes, in verse 2 he says, he makes us lie down at times. He makes us lie down when we need it. He knows when we need it. He says, that's the first. And then he says, he leads me. He restores me. He guides me. He says, even in the darkest place, he's with me. He comforts me. He anoints me. You know, and all these things are all within the one psalm. All occurred. It's all... And it starts off with Lord being my shepherd. If we can get that concept of God being our shepherd, then all these things apply. It's only when that we're in rebellion that we seem to lose the anchor that tells us that these are for us. Individual. We sometimes we read this and it's like David said, it's something we know and we've known for so many years that we can lose track of actually what it does say. And no matter where we go, what we do, where we're at, how we feel, there's something in that psalm that's going to speak to us. Wherever we are, whatever situation and circumstance we're in. And it's probably as well that it's the most famous psalm, but it's also a stumbling block because we are too familiar with it. But praise God, it's there, and it's there for our benefit. Amen.
Anyway, I'll do the first three verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name's sake. He is the shepherd, so he's not going to let me look tattered and hungry, is he? It's for his name's sake. It reminds me of the Lord's Prayer, because he is Jehovah Rohi. Yes, he is the shepherd. And for he restores my soul. It means that it's a continuous restoration, isn't it? It's not just one time and that's it, he's done with me. Because he knows that I am just a human being that is led astray sometimes. That's why he leads me beside the still waters and restores my soul. It's a restoration process. That's how, to me, it comes up. It's my favorite psalm because he restores my soul every single time. When I feel like I'm dry, he restores my soul for his name's sake. Because people know, you know, when you tell people that you're a Christian, God is not going to let you dry out because people will be laughing at him. Say, oh, you say, you know, where is his God? Now, where is their God? So he's not going to let that happen. So he restores me for his name's sake. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He is Jehovah Tsikenyi as well, you know, on that. Yeah, he leads me because of his name's sake. He's not going to be embarrassed. He's not going to be shamed because of me. That's why he restores my soul every day, every minute, every single hour. That's how that's come to me.
The Lord, it says in the NIV, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. And the one thing I love about that is that while ever I have my Lord at my side, I shall never want for anything. And I don't mean vast fortunes or anything, but I know that I'll always have his love, and I'll always have his care and his healing. Just throwing off a little bit from that, I went to visit Jim in hospital this week. He's doing a lot better, praise God. And there was a guy across from him who, I just went to say hello to him, really. And he broke into tears and said that he tried to kill himself. And he gave me a lot of things about it. And I said to him, look, God loves you. And he has a purpose for your life. That's why you're here. So it's just amazing how God opens things up, you know. But it says here, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And what a fantastic promise that we have, that we will live with the Lord in his house forever. And I remember when Mum, I weren't a Christian then, she was dying, although she never told us she was, but we knew she was. And when she, after she passed on, the Bible was left open at Psalm 23. So I'm a bit like what Andrew said about, he read it to his dad when he went to meet the Lord. And I think what a comforting psalm it is to those that, you know, are on the last legs, as it were, and they're about to meet the Lord. I think it's fantastic. But, you know, the whole thing is great because he guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And that's great, because if we're not led in the paths of righteousness, we'll be in the unrighteousness, won't we? We don't want to be there. Anyway, praise God for that.
That's right, yeah. The hook was there so that when it had got itself stuck somewhere, he could hook it round it and pull it up. Yeah. No, it doesn't beat the sheep, no. The sheep are very sensitive and would soon run away. And like was said earlier on about the fact of that the shepherd in the east always led the sheep. We in the west have dogs and drive the sheep, in one sense. We herd the sheep into where we want them to go using dogs, but the shepherd would lead them. One of the reasons he led them was for the fact that the grasslands where they were, there could be poisonous plants. So the shepherd went along in front and he checked the ground. Because the sheep are stupid.
Yeah.
They'll eat anything.
Yeah.
Okay. But back to the rod and staff. In the Old Testament, they didn't have things like this. I'll just borrow this a moment. They didn't have notepads. What they did, they had a staff. And on the staff was actually written their life story, their experiences. And so, they didn't have TV neither, by the way. And so they would gather around on an evening time, and the patriarch of the household, such as like Abraham being a tent dweller, that he would sit and he would look at his staff. And his staff was actually his life story. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God, we need to recall what God has done in our lives and what God is planning to do in our lives. You know, some of us have prophetic words of the future of what God is doing. And so the staff records what God has done in our lives. And Abraham and Jacob, you know, remember when Jacob was coming towards his brother, it said he rested on his staff. He rested upon his life story. He rested upon the promises of God that were given to him, you see. And so in Psalm 23, much of this could be, in the sense, referring to the promises of God, the journey that we've already come through, that we remind ourselves of what God has already done for us. And he said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. Lo, I am with you
always.
Not just some of the time. Even when you've been robbed. Even when you've been attacked. Even when something's gone wrong. God says, I'm still here. I'm here. Just because we became Christians, that did not make us immune to what's happening in the world. But it meant that God is with us in every situation and circumstance to protect us and to guide us. That's what the Lord is, my shepherd, my protector. The shepherd, as I said, went before the sheep. He checked the ground to make sure there was nothing poisonous. And as David said, he led them to still waters for a reason. And you know, we are in this situation. Verse 2 is what I want to just come from as well. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Green means he makes me lie down in a fruitful land, in a fruitful place. Green is life. So he makes me lie down in life. In green, he makes me lie down in abundance, in blessings. And so green, so, I mean, bear in mind, we had green grass, and then a few weeks ago, it suddenly all turned brown, didn't it? But the Lord says, he makes us green. That meaning of green means life, fruitfulness, fullness. And so God, when the Lord is saying here, well, David's saying through an inspiration by the Spirit of God, that you make me down, lie down in green pastures. Now remember David. David at one time was being chased by Saul. All the armies of Israel were looking for David to kill him. And yet David says, Lord, you make me lie down in green pastures. And yet, at times, he's hiding in the desert. He's hiding in caves. Grace and I have been to that area where David was hiding. Now, in your own mind, you might think, well, how difficult was it to find 600 men in a desert area? Well, let me tell you, it went like this. Up one hill, and then down another one. And up one hill, and down another one. It was up and down. So by the time he got to the top of that hill, they could have gone over the next one. And it's like, there's nobody there. And so they were continually up and down, up and down. And so when we saw it, we looked at that and thought, wow, there's no wonder. You could hide in this wilderness, 600 men, and still never find them, which Saul never did. And so, but David was saying, Lord, you make me lie down in fruitfulness, in an abundance, in blessing. You lead me beside still waters. Saul was chasing him, this turmoil. Yeah. Well, I'm going to get to that, all right. Hallelujah. Ask if you've got anything to say. There's that great hymn that says, he hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock and comforts me in a dry and thirsty land. You know, God hides us within himself. You know, underneath and round about are the everlasting arms of God. And we have to realize that we need to stay in there sometimes. Stay in there, because he's hiding us from the turmoil. He's hiding us from what is going on around us. And he wants you to know that for a truth. He wants you to receive that in an abundance. You know, verse 3 it says, he restores my soul daily.
Yeah.
When you rise in the morning, He's restoring your soul. You know, we're anxious. We're fretting. We may feel weary. And we may feel we've got needs in our lives, but God is there for us. And He's restoring our souls. He's coming into our lives and He's ministering into our lives. It then goes on to say in verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." It's not a reality. It's a shadow. Shadow does not have a substance. And one thing you have to remember, he says, "Yea, though I..." What does he say next? Walk. Walk. He's not abiding in the valley of death. Right? And we need to... Some of us at times, we can get a mindset where it locks us into this valley of death. Yeah. And God says, "You're walking through it. I don't intend you to live or to reside in that valley of death. But I am taking you through it." Yeah. Praise God. And you might say, "Well, I am going through it, Andrew." Well, praise God. Well, go through it with God. Go through it with Jesus. Go through it following the shepherd. And as you go through it following the shepherd, you will come out realizing that, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of a shadow of death, I will come to a place where I won't fear evil. The devil has no power.
No.
He has no authority over my life. He has as much power and authority as I surrender to him." Yes. Jesus said, "I give to you," Matthew 16, Matthew 18, "I give to you all power and all authority in my name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I give you that power and that authority." And in that power and authority, you can stand in victory. You can stand before the enemy of your soul and declare, "God is with me. His rod is authority. It belongs to me. He surrendered to me his authority. He gave it me. He gave it you, authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to witness to lives, to see lives changed. And write your story. Each and every one of you, a book's been written to the glory of God." Hallelujah. And verse 5, it says, "You prepare for me a table in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over." God's provision will be seen by your enemies. God's provision will be seen in your life. God is a provider for his children. As in Psalm 23 here, the Lord is the shepherd. The Lord is the provider for the sheep. And we're the sheep of his pasture. And so he's providing for us. And he's making a way where there seems to be no way. And he's anointing our head with oil. This is not the priestly anointing, but this is an anointing of the perfumes of the East. And he's covering us and you know, when the sheep have wounds on them, the shepherd takes oil and he rubs it into the wool of the sheep. It helps him remove the thorns, the briars and everything else. And it lubricates so that he can get into it and he can deal with the wounds that are on that sheep at that time. It allows him access. And the oil of God, as it's poured into us, pours into our wounds, pours into our hurts. And God begins to minister. He lays his hands upon us. This psalm, to some degree, I journeyed this psalm. Many of you know about that time we told you about a meeting that went on for 7.5 hours and nobody preached, just the anointing of the Holy Spirit came down in a youth group. Well, the next night, again as we were worshipping the Lord, I sensed the presence of the power of God coming in again. And again, I'd got my guitar and I thought, I need to put this down. So I put my guitar down and I thought, because I saw what happened last night, sort of thing, you know, people just going out under the power of Spirit. I thought, I'm putting my guitar down. And I put my guitar down and I just began to stand in the presence of the Lord. And all of a sudden, the anointing came down and I just hit the floor. I was laid out for 4 hours. The service carried on without me. But I went on a journey. I went on a journey with the Lord. And part of it is part of my life story in one sense. I began this journey and I was in a darkened place. And it was like a tunnel. But in the distance, in the far distance, I could see light. And I began to follow the light. And there were times when I tripped up and I fell down, but I continued going towards this light. And eventually I reached the end. And literally I came to the end and it was like an opening in the cliff face of this darkness. And before me was a meadow running down before me, full of flowers and green grass. And down in the bottom was a stream of water. And down by the stream of water was a tree. I work in pictures, and this is what I was seeing. And down by the tree was a cloth laid out, and on that cloth was a banquet.
Amen.
And by the side of that cloth, there was somebody sat there. So I walked down. And when I got there, I realized who it was. It was Jesus. And I sat down in his presence. And in the end, I laid in his arms. And he began to minister to me, pouring in the oil and the wine and preparing me for the future. And the Lord wants you to know today that he wants to prepare you for your future. What's happening to you, maybe right now, God is ministering to you. He wants to minister into your life. Yeah. Jesus came to set captives free.
Amen.
And we've all been captive to something.
Yeah.
We've all been held prisoner to something. Yeah. Could be a doubt, could be an unbelief, could be a demonic activity, could be something that of this world that has just held us back from moving on into that deeper relationship with God. I've never forgot that experience. Never forgot it. I was so enjoying it. And so enjoying the presence of the Lord and the peace and the tranquility that was there. And then he said to me, "You need to go back." Why? I have something for you to do. That night, as I say, I was out on the floor four and a half hours. In fact, in the end, they had to come and pick me up after service. They'd had church, they'd had the service. They came and picked me up, carried me off to my bedroom, and Grace put me to bed. And I didn't surface until morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I realised that I had had an experience with the Lord. A few days earlier, one of the girls who was helping, when the Spirit of the Lord was moving in a real mighty power, she was sat on a chair, but she wasn't there. Her body was there. But when we finally spoke to her after service, her first words were, "I've been with Jesus." I'm like, wow, what an experience she must have had. And she said, "I've been with Jesus." She hadn't got a clue what had happened in the service that night, because the real person wasn't there. The body was, but the spirit wasn't there. It had journeyed into the presence of God and an experience with the Lord. Some people say, "Well, you lot, you're nuts." No. I don't exaggerate, I understate. And I know what I experienced. And I never forgot that experience. I'll never deny my Lord. I never doubt Him. And we just continue to press in, because I believe God wants us to do great things. And the Lord wants to equip each and every one of you. And though you might walk through a valley, it's only a shadow of death. At the other end, it says surely goodness and mercy shall follow who?
Me.
You. All the days. Not some of the days. But even when you think you're having a bad day, the Lord is still with you.
Yes.
All the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What does that mean? It means that we shall live in His presence. We shall dwell in His presence. We find ourselves that it means that, you know, the mercy of God, the unfailing love of God is always there for you. Drawing you closer to Him. You know, Jesus tells the parable, the story of the shepherd who goes looking for the one sheep, the one that was lost. But the shepherd had got 99. Why don't you be content with the 99 that you've got?
Mm-hmm. Everyone can.
But that one belongs to Him.
It does.
And the shepherd, he went looking for it. He went looking for it. And he took his staff. He took his shepherd's crook. And he rescued it. And pulled it up. He says, and he carried it on his shoulders.
Mm.
In other words, he's lifting you up.
Mm.
He's lifting you up above circumstances and situations. And like you see children, when fathers pick up their children and they put them on their shoulders, puts them in that place of safety and security, and says, "Look, this is what you can see from my position. Look through my eyes. Look what you can see. And see the victory that there is in Christ Jesus. See the victory that there is in the name of our God and realize that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. We're not going to just live anywhere. We're going to live in the house of the Lord. We're going to live in His presence, the Word of God says. And you know, David is in some cases he's prophesying through this psalm. But I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's David saying he's seeing salvation before it's even been spoken of. He's seeing God's eternity. He's seeing God's plan for his life. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Hallelujah. You anoint my head with oil. Jesus Christ means Jesus, the Anointed One. And each and every one of us, the Lord wants to see that you are anointed by His Spirit, by His presence, and that you are a people of power. Amen. That you are a people that walk in God's anointing. Because God has called each and every one of us to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
And so be encouraged tonight. Be encouraged. Keep pressing on.
Amen.
Keep moving forward in God. And realizing that God is for you and not against you. And keep believing that God has got some, you know, He said, I prepare a table before you. There are good things in store. Hallelujah. There are good things in store. Praise God. You haven't reached the end of the table yet. Hallelujah. There's much more to possess. There's much more of God to begin to get to know. We don't know it all yet. But we are journeying day by day to know more of Him who created all things by His power. And I just want to encourage you to continue to keep pressing in. Keep pressing through. Knowing the breath of God in our lives. You know, when God sort of comes into our lives, He breathes upon us the Spirit. You know, when Jesus left, He breathed upon them and said, receive the Spirit.
Yeah.
Tarry, wait in Jerusalem. You know, when God created Adam, what did He do? He kissed him. He breathed into him the breath of life. He breathed into him His Spirit. When God comes, let God kiss you. Let God breathe into you life in Christ Jesus. And know the power of His resurrection life. And I believe we shall and will, in intake, see the power of God moving in such a wonderful way. But it starts with us. It starts with me. It starts with you. And God wants to move through you. Amen. The Lord bless you. Amen. Shall we just pray a moment? Father, we just thank you for this psalm.
Amen. So precious.
We thank you that you are our Lord. You never lead us into places where we are not victorious. You just direct us. You guide us. And Father, your eye is always upon us. You lead us, Lord. Your desire, your plan is to bring us to a place of fruitfulness.
Amen.
For your praise and for your glory. And Father, where we feel wounded and damaged, your word says you restore, you heal, you minister life to our broken souls. And then you lead us in the paths for righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, you said you would never leave us. You said you would never forsake us. And Father, you've set your goodness. You've set your mercy. Your unfailing, steadfast love. You've set that upon us. And we just bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, may we all dwell in your house forever. In Jesus' name.
God just brought John 15 to mind. And Psalm 23 is all about experiences that we all go through in life. Nobody's excluded from the bad stuff. We'll all go through something that is far, seems to overwhelm us. But I'm learning more and more to stop looking at the storm and hide in Christ. My life is hidden with Christ in God. And that's where God wants us to be, looking at it from his vantage point, instead of looking at the problem. Keep your eyes on God and stay under the shelter of his wings, because then you're quite safe and secure. No matter what the devil throws at you, you are more than a conqueror, and you'll not be moved if you keep your eye on him. But it's when we start getting from under them wings and having a nosy to see what's going off, because we want to know, we can handle it, we're big enough. No, you're not. God's saying, get under my wings and stay there, because I'm your all-sufficient one. I've got everything that you need. And we'll all go through stuff. And I think Psalm 23 just epitomizes everything that we will go through. No, there's nothing that we've gone through that isn't common to man. So we're all going to go through stuff that's way over our heads. So I think we need to make some quality decisions now. I'm going to hide under his wings. And John 15 says, I'm the vine, abide in me. And it said, I am the vine in verse 5. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So if we want a successful life, a victorious life, get under his wings and don't come out. And let him do the fighting for you. Let him bring the victory. And we'll win every time. So praise God. I've just been blessed today. Thank you, Andrew, for that word. There was so much there that just lit my blue touch paper. Amen.